This is the Geek Dads, the podcast of GeekDad.com on the Wired Blog Network. This is episode 33, The Dragon Really Is a Duck. Hello again, everybody. You found it. It is the Geek Dads. This is episode 33, the big 33, and I am Ken Denmead, editor of GeekDad.com. I have a couple of co-hosts tonight and one very, very special guest. First, just to bring him in so you know who's talking tonight, we have our sort of semi-new regular, Mr. Matt Blum. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing well, Ken. I had a medical test yesterday, which wasn't too much fun, but recovering from that.
Needles in your back. That sounds really, really fun.
Yeah, I could have done without it, but hopefully I'll get good results from it.
Okay, good. We hope so, too. And Mr. Dan Olson, how's it going up your way?
It is going great. It is freezing cold and no recent medical tests. So
we were in shorts the last couple of days, so you'll hate us.
But it's boo, yes.
And I'll die, you know.
All right, real quick before the special guest, our third person showed up. I'm going to suck him into the conversation. Here comes Brian. We can all tisk Brian for coming in late. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, thanks. There's Brian. How you doing this week, Brian?
Dude, I'm here.
All right, you made it. That's cool. All right, let's not waste any more time because this is a real cool occasion on Geek Dad. We have a famous person here, and was going to hopefully have some really good suggestions for us for holiday video game treats. We would like to give a big Geek Dad welcome to Mr. Adam Sessler of G4's X-Play. How are you doing, Mr. Sessler?
I'm doing well. Famous was far too kind. I like expanded cable personality in select markets.
That works. And famous, parentheses, for the internet, in parentheses.
Yes, right? Okay, how about that? I'll do that.
As, you know what? As far as the Geek Dad community is concerned, you are a superstar.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So being one of the probably two people, you and your co-host, that probably have the greatest wealth of video game knowledge in the universe. We are really happy to have you here with us tonight. Geek Dad being a very family-centric, dads getting out and doing stuff with their kids kind of website, we would love to suck your brain dry of ideas and your opinions of video games for sharing with your kids and, you know, just sort of all-around family-friendly, cool video games that are coming out sort of new in the holiday season that we should be looking forward to.
Hey, no problem at all.
All right. You know, I'll start first. Any of the guys, Brian, Dan, or Matt, you guys got any games that you want to bring up that you might want to ask that we haven't played yet that we might want to ask Adam about?
Well, there's the new lightsaber game for the Wii. I've heard kind of mixed things about that.
Yeah, that would be Star Wars Clone Wars. It's based not so much on the last three films, nor is it The Force Unleashed, which came out back in July. This is based on, there was the movie that came out that will become more of an animated series. As with all Star Wars games, it's one of those ones that all the promise in the world, you're just like, okay, I want this to be the one, and it doesn't really come across. I mean, obviously, it's a Wii game, it has lightsabers, and so that's already kind of a dream come true right there.
Yeah.
But as far as a game, it's mindless. And so there's nothing wrong with that. But in terms of sort of a deep, rich game, that's not exactly it's there's better stuff out there. Although for a Star Wars game, it could be a lot worse.
So it's sort of not a great plot. Is it like totally on rails, leading you through by the nose, or?
Yeah, it's just more of an action game that becomes very predictable. There isn't, it's a problem that's afflicting a lot of the Wii games that are trying to take a more traditional style of game and give it Wii controls. They don't know where that medium is, where it isn't like sort of fluff, and also trying to give it some of the depth. It's okay for a Wii game; it's just not a great game.
Now, and this is not yet using this new 3D add-on for the Wiimotes yet, right?
The 3D, as in, well, there's supposed to be the additional, I don't know how to describe it. It's more or less, it's an extra part of the Wii you put on the end, so it can have the precision that I believe the Wiimote should have had at the very beginning, and that's really been an issue with stuff like first-person shooters, where precision really is key. It's not as important for the Clone Wars games, though in retrospect, it probably could have benefited from it.
Okay, I know everybody's sort of hoping that this little add-on will take us to the point where you could really do some cool, you know, either lightsaber battle play or other sort of combat play or really accurate game simulations with the Wiimote. So, do we know, how soon is that supposed to be coming out?
You know what? Off the top of my head, I actually don't know. Nintendo tends to, you know, announce something and then you just wait a long time and then it finally sort of hits store shelves. It's one of those ones that they talked about at E3, and because it didn't happen in the ensuing months, it just kind of, you know, slipped from my mind. With all due respect to the Wii has started to slip from my mind as well. It came out with such promise.
I heard rumors that it was going to be spring, but...
Oh, okay.
Spring, I mean, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, of 2010. Okay. All right, Dan, you got anything?
It's one we've played. What's your impression of the World of Goo game? Kind of a...
The World of Goo game's really cool. That one, I saw that ages ago. And it's funny, that's available off of WiiWare. It's not sort of a proper game that you go and you buy in the store. And out of a lot of the games I've seen, that's one of the most perfect games for the Wii, as you sort of build these bridges and solve these puzzles with the various types of goo. It really is quite involving. I mean, every so often I'll get a little bit of arm strain. That's the only thing I can really say that's wrong with it. I think the other part that's very fun is there is the evil company that's making goo, and if you knew a little bit about the guys who made it, you'll realize they're actually referring to Electronic Arts. demonstrated the game.
There's probably a lot of smaller game companies out there that feel exactly that same way, right?
Yes, I think we're going to see a lot of rush of indie game makers that are coming out of Activision and Electronic Arts for some reason.
Oh, so you're thinking about there's going to be a lot of guys actually jump, you know, everybody seems to get bought up by EA, but now you think there's going to be enough people sort of jumping ship and trying to go create their own things?
I think now that there is viability for you with a good idea and a couple of friends that you can actually really make something and get noticed by it, that I think some of the more creative individuals are getting a little burnt out in the corporate world of game development are actually, it's going to help us in the indie game sphere.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Brian, you got any you thought of?
Actually, I'm curious to know if Wii Music is actually worth messing with.
Because I am
a 4-year-old.
I'm not a huge fan of it. I have very, very mixed feelings with Wii Music. Obviously, that was the first thing that we saw when the Wii was first introduced at E3 2-3 years ago, when Miyamoto walks out on stage and he's conducting, and suddenly we saw this whole wonderful breath of imagination of what the Wii could do. So now, finally, the game comes out, and it was kind of announced it was coming out this year at this year's E3. And that was one of the only games that they were talking about alongside Animal Crossing, which is actually a fine game for children. But it was, that's all they had. And there was that sense of, where is Nintendo going? You know, they really just could go into this very casual games market. As far as Wii Music goes, it's not a game. There really isn't a point. But at the same time, it doesn't fully feel like a toy for me. Now, having said that, for very young children, I know when I was really young, I always wanted to conduct. I think because, you know, when you're 4, you want to control something because you don't control much. And, you know, for children like that, I think there's a lot to experiment with. But I think once you get to an older age where you do want more of a sense of achievement, you know, via the game, that it's going to feel a little bit light.
Now, but maybe from a you know, non-hardcore gamer point of view, sort of the family thing where you've got the elementary school kids and maybe grandma and grandpa over for something, it might work.
Yes, and especially when you're able to do it all together. When you think of it, if you want a sort of a transgenerational experience, I think that's a great one because it's kind of one where you can't do all that wrong. So it is something that definitely there's enjoyment in the group.
Yeah, I got to say, it's funny, and I've already heard this from a number of other people in after Thanksgiving, is I have to bet you that the most played game over the Thanksgiving holiday this year was still Wii Bowling.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, my
outside of the danger of breaking your TV when you let go of the Wiimote, it's the most easily accessible game ever made.
I know. I had my 8 and 10 year old playing it. I was playing it. My folks were playing it, and my 83 year old grandmother was playing it.
Yeah,
and so it's not going to sell, you know, a bunch more third party games, but you know they've hit it with something there.
Yeah, Wii Sports was perfect, and they've never been able to replicate that experience. And we wondered, why don't you just do Wii Sports 2? Now they have the one that's going to be Carnival Games, as if you're on a cruise ship. And I'm just like, no, I want more golf courses for my Wii Golf.
Actually, now I'm going to – the perfect name is not going to come out of my head, but the Steven Spielberg idea game was Blocks, Boom Blocks.
Boom Blocks. Absolutely love that game. We gave that a 5 out of 5. The only caveat I have for this game is you don't have to flick the Wiimote that hard, but it's very hard to train yourself not to. I've hurt my shoulder so many times playing this game, but it's to the game's credit because it's really so much fun. And it was all based on the principle of it's fun to build things up and watch them fall over. Something which I did, you know, with my younger brother, we get all his those big Duplo Lego blocks and build something really high, but not really lock him into place. And then we just kind of throw things at it and watch it all fall down.
Yeah.
And it's that, you know, just basic satisfaction. And once again, it's an incredibly fun party game because you can either work together to bring down a building or you can play these little games against one another and try to, you know, make sure that you're the one who knocks down all the Jenga pieces.
Yeah, yeah. It's perfect. We've had a lot of fun with that one. All right, I think we need to steer away from the Wii. We've got a lot of Wii. How, obviously, I think the elephant in the room is Little Big Planet, which is
yes,
that's PS3 only, right?
Yes, it is PS3 only. It is an absolutely phenomenal game. Just the spirit and the tone of the game is I'm a fairly cynical adult, and that thing makes me just smile and smile and smile. It's got so much color. It's got so much fun with the physics. I actually think that, you know, when you go into the create mode of the game, because you don't just get to play it, you can use all those pieces and build your own things, that it is a very fascinating physics tool because there are very strict rules to how things sort of fall over or float. I would never not recommend it. You have to have some level of gaming skill to be able to function in the game. The physics puzzles in it are far more challenging than I was prepared for. And there were times where I was kind of banging my head against the table trying to figure out how I couldn't do this. But just as something just to experiment with and build stuff and stick to stickers, really, as far as a family game, or at least a kid-friendly game, I don't think there's anything better in terms of its sort of depth and longevity this season.
So awesome. Now here's the bigger question attached to that, and I've heard one of the podcasts I was listening to, she actually said it's almost a game worth getting a PS3 for.
Yes. You know what? The only issue I currently have with wanting to say that is Sony, for reasons I have yet to fully determine. Because a large part of the game is that you make these neat levels, and then you upload them so you can share them with other people that are your friends. And then you can rate strangers' games and decide to download them. Sony has been hyper vigilant about yanking things down. Some because they're using licensed, you know, images inside of it.
Right.
Others for reasons that no one can seem to figure out. And so one of sort of the fun community aspect of the game is really being inhibited by Sony. And I'm a little rankled with them right now about that. But in terms of the game in and of itself and what its potential is, it is one of the best reasons to buy a PS3.
Oh, wow. And so they're pulling them down if they've got licensed content, even though there's no money trading hands over the built levels.
Yeah, just on a side note, the same thing's happening with Guitar Hero World Tour, where people are replicating game music as downloadable music because you can actually make your own music in that game.
Yeah.
A lot of what was happening, I think, unfortunately, this speaks to some of the lack of imagination in a lot of gamers out there. They're just recreating old game levels in Little Big Planet. I don't see how that violates a license, but somebody in their legal department must have gotten really sketchy right there.
Yeah.
But there have been other ones. Now, I'm having a hard time figuring out what was exceptional in it, and but they're still getting pulled down.
That's a shame.
It is.
Well, have you got anything else on your list to recommend?
You mean me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, one of them, actually, there's a couple of games that utilize the Wii Fit Board. I hate to go back to the Wii, but I think the Wii Fit Board is also, if you want to also enliven a party, I think one of the best ways to get everyone kind of relaxed, because kids will be doing it anyway, is to get that Wii Fit Board out, because it makes you act like a goofy person. And, but there's the game Rayman Raving Rabbids. This is kind of an ongoing series coming out of Ubisoft. It's a bunch of small party games. I found the previous couple to be, you know, some of the puzzles, you know, some of the games were really fun, and some of them were just so irritating and difficult, you just, you know, threw down the controller. They seem to have fixed that. The best is some of them involve you using the balance board in some very, very funny ways. One of them is you have to ride a cow. So you have to sit on the Wii Fit balance board. As you can imagine, one person doing that is funny. More than one person, if you have more than one of the balance boards, just sort of, you know, up the ante on the hilarity. It definitely, just the spirit of the game and kind of the ridiculousness of the motions I want you to, you know, indulge in with the Wiimote or with the balance board. It's definitely a fun party game.
Oh, that's right. Now, I thought Raving Rabbids came out before the Wii board came out.
Yes, this is the third in the series. This is Rayman Raving Rabbids TV Party. Sorry about that.
Got it. Sorry.
Yeah, they always throw a subtitle on it, and they all start to blend together in my head.
I understand.
Another one, which also uses the balance board, it's EA's Skate It. Skate was a very good skateboarding game that came out for the 360 and the PS3.
Yeah.
This is a more simplified version where you really do stand on the balance board and attempt to do some tricks. It does definitely have some of the skater world, you know, accoutrement. It doesn't have, you know, marijuana or anything like that. But so it feels a little bit more adult, but it definitely is a very fun game that's just really kind of neat. It's like just how you're balancing on the balance board.
Yeah.
And I think there's one for the 360. It's a new version of Banjo-Kazooie called Nuts and Bolts. I'm a huge fan of the Banjo-Kazooie series, and the original game is available on Xbox Live Arcade, which for the $15, you can probably keep your child entertained for, you know, a month. There's so much to do in that game. This new one takes it in a slightly different direction where you're building your own automobiles to be able to solve the various puzzles inside of the game.
Oh,
and so there is at least a fair amount of puzzle solving and basic engineering logic that's employed there. That it wasn't my favorite game of the year, but I was thinking when playing it, this would be a very interesting challenge to give to a younger child because there is some thought and experimentation involved.
Oh, that's cool. Now, speaking of the Wii board, have you played Wii Ski?
I have not played Wii Ski. Everyone I know that has, once again, it's fun. And remember, I'm unfortunately a hardcore gamer, so I'm always looking for, you know, I just get so inured to stuff. And that, you know, once again, it's that wonderful Wii experience where I'm doing something and it's being represented on screen, and that's just so cool. It never goes that far beyond it.
True. Very true. Very true. Well, that's cool. Let's see, Brian or Dan, you guys got anything else you want to ask Adam?
I just want to know if we're going to talk about Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, that's a family game.
Well, for a given value of family, sure. But.
Yeah. I think it would be interesting to play Left 4 Dead with a full family to see how they really feel about you. Are they going to come back or are they going to leave you for dead?
It's family defined as my brother and I after everybody in the house has gone to bed.
There you go.
Yeah. Really, there's almost nothing as satisfying as Left 4 Dead right now when you have a good group of friends.
Oh, cool. Dan, you got anything else?
Yeah, we were some of my friends were chatting today, and we were talking about there's a game out for iPod. It's an emulation of the original Rogue, or the Unix version of Rogue. The rest of you played that? I mean, because I remember playing Larn, which is a version of Rogue back in the mid-80s. But, you know, kind of back to the original.
I remember seeing that game in the mid-80s. So I had to do the more basic Space Invaders, Cause and Effect type games. But there are so many games for the iPhone that was not ready for this quickly. I think the one that shocked me is that Adventure for the Atari 2600 just came out.
On the
and,
oh, right,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, and there's a game that always, you know, wow, I was really filling in a lot of the gaps for how cool that game was. You know, looking at it now, it's like, no, the dragon really is a duck. It's not a dragon. But I'll have to concede, I have not checked out everything that's available on the iPhone, although there's one called Field Runners that pretty much renders our staff useless for about a good 2 hours a day.
Well, yeah, it's basically desktop tower defense portable.
Yes, exactly. But whatever it is, I want to ban the iPhone because there's a lack of productivity.
All right. Well, I've got one more thing I want to ask you about, and then we'll let you go. And this is actually more like a plea or an admonition. Whatever power you have with the game powers that be out there, my favorite game of all time is Activision's Interstate 76.
Ooh. Do you remember? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's such a good game.
Funk soundtrack, alternate 70s vigilante car wars.
And, right, and then there was Interstate 82 that came a few years later.
Right, which was almost, you know, not quite as good. They tried to.
It didn't have the same fun.
It tried to turn the corner into the Miami Vice era, and it didn't quite make it. But somebody has got to just throw like a couple of code monkeys at it for you know a couple of months, bring it, you know, port it into, I don't know, what the Halo engine or something, just to amp up the effects. You could even use, you know, the same voices and all that stuff, and I think it would be a complete redo hit.
You know what? I hopefully Activision doesn't own the license because there will be no hope. But assuming they don't, I think that there's a good likelihood of that. You can just look at there's someone out there who's redoing the original Half-Life using the Source engine that powers Half-Life 2. Oh, and it's absolutely amazing what this guy has done. I think he's either doing it by himself or with a very small team. And I know there's enough affection for Interstate 76 that, you know, if we can get the word out there, you know, we'll inspire somebody with too much time in their hands to pull it off.
That's it. I'll have to start another blog just in support of the support of the effort. I mean, it totally seems to me like video game industry is going to go the same road as movies in that we're going to run out of a lot of really new ideas, and there's going to be a lot of going back and either recreating older games. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of rich, there are a lot of rich older games that if you simply brought them into a new engine with enhanced graphics and amped up the gameplay a little bit, they'd go over just as well now as they did back then.
I know. I have to agree with you. There's actually a site that I really like called goodoldgames.com, and they're making some sort of classic of the 90s PC games available. You can get the entire Unreal series and among some others. I'm waiting for the more obscure ones to come out, so I want to play Hexen all over again. But I could see that starting to happen a little bit further down the line because it's going to come out of the enthusiast space. When you look at what's happening with indie games, there's this wonderful sphere where there's a lot of creativity, and then you have kind of what this guy's doing with Half-Life, where you know they're trying to prove their own mettle by trying to recreate one of the greatest games ever. That hopefully, if licenses aren't held onto too tightly, we'll see that kind of innovation, because there is going to be this point where the snake's going to eat its own tail as far as creativity goes in the more traditional game space.
Well, that's fantastic. Guys, unless you got anything else to ask, I think we could let Adam go. What do you think? Take that as a no.
Sure, join us.
All right, Adam, it's been fantastic having you on the podcast. Thanks so much.
Hey, it's been great to be on the podcast.
All right, have a good one.
All right, you guys take care.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks.
I'm assuming that will drop off in a moment. There it goes. All right. And just in time, Matt, who had to run away for a second, we'll pull Matt right back in. And we'll keep going with the rest of our regularly scheduled program tonight. Hey, Matt, you just missed Adam.
That's too bad. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Holding emergency temporarily averted. So that's
cool. Well, that was really awesome. That was cool. I
figured, talking about iPhone. Ken, we're talking about iPhone games. Have you played Crystal Quest? Do you remember that?
I remember the game. They have it.
It's out for the iPhone now.
Oh, we have to go dig that up.
I haven't spent $5 because I'll never get any work done.
I know Field Runners. I've been Field Runners is just great. I've been having a ton of fun with that. Still haven't made it through on the hard yet, but it's an awesome game. Well, I figure we could just go ahead and do our picks now, talk about stories from the week, since we've had such a lovely video game discussion. So, I'll put Matt on the spot. Matt, but now that you've heard it, what do you want to talk about tonight?
excuse me, I was going to talk about the post I did last week about the new electric company that's going to be starting on PBS Kids. In January.
Oh yeah, that got a lot of very positive attention.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think everybody from our generation, everybody who's, you know, at least, you know, 30 or so remembers watching it when they were kids, or at least in reruns. And it was, you know, it was such a cool show back then, because it was, you know, it was for, you know, the slightly older than Sesame Street crowd, and had a lot of, you know, contemporary references, and it was just so creative, and taught things so well. And
it was so weird and awesome to go back and watch Morgan Freeman.
Yes, I know. And Bill Cosby in the first season.
Yeah.
Now the new series is, you know, it's gonna be pretty different, but you know, things have changed just a little bit in the world, so in the last 30 years. So I think that's reasonable. And so they're but they're keeping the focus on words, and although they're going to be doing some more on vocabulary, which the original show didn't really do, but they're definitely doing a lot of phonics. And they are going to have somebody in a gorilla suit.
Oh, that's key.
So they're keeping some of the important things.
And once you buy it, I mean, it makes sense to keep using it.
That's
I mean, if you rent, well.
But, and it's public broadcasting, so they don't have a lot of new cash on hand.
That's true. I mean, it remains to be seen whether it'll be as good as the old one, but it definitely has some promise to it. And of course, there's going to be an online component to it, because, you know, that's to be expected from a show.
That's what they have to have nowadays.
Yeah, and they're actually going to have a magazine that Marvel Comics is going to be publishing as well. I don't know too much about what that's going to be in that.
Spider-Man with word balloons above his head.
Social networking. Somehow.
Somehow.
All right, will you promise to watch it for at least, you know, 5 episodes and come back and give us a...
I certainly will, yeah. I mean, my kids are really excited about it, too, because my wife and I got the first DVD set from the original show that came out, and my kids like most of that. I mean, they don't get a lot of the 70s references, of course, but and of course we can sort of explain.
You're not educating them correctly, Matt.
Well, I'm sorry, but the easy reader, I mean, how are you going to really explain that?
There was so much high culture in the 70s. You're going to let all that go? Just disco, leisure suit.
Depends upon which usage of the word "high" you're referencing.
Exactly. I was going to say, when are you going to mention the high culture?
Yeah. Well, speaking of Easy Rider, I mean,
right?
Yeah, there have been rumors that took a beat, didn't it?
there have been rumors that Rita Moreno is going to make a cameo. So that
would be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir. That's very cool. Brian, how about you?
I was enjoying Todd's post on visualizing the trip to Grandma's house with Google Earth. It reminded me very much of traveling with my family. When I was growing up, we used to take long road trips to from Charlotte to Chicago or Maryland on up to Massachusetts sometimes. And we would play the pilot and navigator game. Dad was the pilot, and one of us kids was a navigator. We got to, you know, read the map and figure out where we were based on the highway signs and all that. And this sort of brings that into the 21st century and takes what Todd rightly points out is a really huge piece of software, Google Earth, and turns it into something very personal. And, you know, just basically makes it an education tool for your kids.
Go ahead,
Dan. Have any of you driven across, like, all the way across Montana?
Never been anywhere in Montana.
There's basically two ways. The north way basically follows the train route, and that's Highway 200. The other way is the freeway 9094. When I was, I suppose it was the late 70s, my dad let me be the navigator and choose the route we were going to take to Spokane, Washington from Minnesota. I chose Highway 200. The most barren stretch of road ever. I just have this picture of just laying in the back seat, looking at the endless blue sky, going, "When will this end?"
It's like once you pass Wolf Point, there's nothing.
It's a beautiful nothing, but you know.
Yeah, it is.
Just the vultures circling overhead waiting for you to...
You just hope you have a full tank of gas and a good radiator.
Yeah.
I do remember when we went that way that North Dakota, not Montana, North Dakota, was surprisingly full of sunflowers.
Yeah.
And see, these days, the kids in the back seat, they wouldn't even notice because they'd be plugged into the DVD thing or the iPods or whatever. No more. Are we there yet? It's more like, honey, we're almost there. Yeah, the movie. I need to finish the movie.
You still get the "Are we there yet?"
Yeah.
Oh yes.
I was gonna say yeah. I love Google Earth is fantastic for visualization and stuff. One of the things that was really cool over just Thanksgiving was I have the Google Earth app on my iPhone, and over at my in-laws, and once again mentioning my grandma was there, and I started just showing her the iPhone, which was just blowing her away by itself, all the little things you could do with it. And I start up the Google Earth application in there, and we were literally able to put in old addresses of places that she had lived or that had been important to her, and all of these like back east, and do them and have it, you know, the globe turns a little bit and then it zooms down to this spot, and at least half of them had street view. So I was able to hit the street view buttons and actually bring up turn and look images of all of these places. And it totally blew her away. And if you step back and think about it, especially from the point of view of someone who's been alive since the 20s, it's just what an amazing, powerful thing to be able to do.
Wherever my dad's recently, and we pulled up street view and it had just become available in his neighborhood. We pulled it up and there's a picture of Dad bent over in the front yard doing something. He's like, "Hey, can they do that, dude?"
I've seen those cutouts up here too.
That's pretty funny. Hey Dad, you're famous. Your butt's on street view.
Well, no, fortunately, it was a side view.
Oh, okay, all right.
It was not the plumber's eye view.
Not as bad. Oh, that's cool.
And he wasn't, like, picking his nose or something. So.
Well, not as far as we could tell.
Cool. All right, Dan, how about you?
Well, I just Dan Donahue wrote a story about the Whomping Willow is real, and it's got a graphic of a tree about 10 meters, 30 feet up in the air, and just the story of his family going onto this box ironbark forests of central Victoria in Australia. And first of all, I have a fascination for places I've never been to. And Australia is one of the cooler places I've never been to. And just an interesting story of how these guys, you know, just the different suppositions on why, you know, how that tree got up in the air and, you know, a flood, you know, drifted it up there and up into the sky. You know, they parked the car, abandoned the car over a gum tree seedling, which grew, lifting the car up into the air, or, you know, a twister lifted it there. And it turns out some guy that edited a hot rod magazine in the 70s thought it would make a hilarious front cover to take a crane, lift the car 10 meters in the tree, and leave it there. So
the most mundane of answers, but still. And I think it's really hilarious how many, you know, disbelievers there were in the comments, both there and on Dig. You know, people were calling it a Photoshop fake. And it's so much fun to be able to sit back and go, well, no, it's not, because you know what? We know the guy who took it, and...
No, it's not, because it predates Photoshop.
Yeah, that too. But Dan was threatening, too. Hopefully he will. He said he would go down there and shoot video.
I was hugely disappointed. I was at the start of that. I was actually all set for a MythBusters episode. Can you actually grow a car into a tree? You know, like they did with the bamboo to see if it actually grew through somebody.
Yeah, which it did, which was very scary.
What awesome for the woman who grew onto her toilet seat?
I don't remember that one, Dan. What was it?
It was on the internets today.
Oh, okay.
You must have
been on the toilet for 2 years.
All right, well, awesome. I didn't necessarily have a post that I was going to chat about right away. I was going to bring up, and I mentioned this to a couple of the guys earlier, and definitely Twittered about it earlier today, but the cool milestone that Geek Dad reached as of sometime earlier Tuesday afternoon was we hit, we broke through the Technorati Top 100, which, considering that about 6 months ago, I think, maybe less, we weren't even on Technorati, or hadn't, at least, we hadn't, I hadn't claimed the blog on there. And just sort of another sign of how amazing this year has been on this blog, and how the effort of all of the writers has really contributed to making something special, and that it's we've got an awesome set of fans out there, and so it turns out little known fact that even though our authority rating on Technorati says that we have broken into the top 100, they actually have to review the website before it gets actually listed as one of the top 100. So there's a little bit of filtering going on there, but hopefully we'll hear about it in the next couple of days. Besides that, nothing much going on. Hey, oh, have any of you guys got your got Christmas lights up yet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. All right. What do you got going on?
Oh, we just did a tree and interior this year. Work's too busy for me to climb out on the house.
Oh, okay.
I broke down this year and bought an artificial tree. I feel so horrible.
don't worry. We did it a couple of years ago, and it just makes so much easier.
After last year, my wife lost her voice within 2 hours after we brought the tree in the house. We all spent a month sick.
Oh, jeez. Really?
Some kind of... Yeah, it's sinus infections, whatnot. But I did go geeky. We bought an unlit tree because the ones with the LEDs in them are too expensive.
Oh, yeah.
But I had my own LED lights left over from a couple of years of use. So I spent two. Not zip ties. They're twist ties, so they're removable.
Okay.
But they're every branch, every tip of that tree has lights on it, dude.
Oh, beautiful.
And it took me 2 full days. My back has never been so sore. My fingers feel like they've been pecked to death by ducks.
But it'll last forever.
Yeah, well, till next year at least.
Yeah, we've got. I have to say, I think the trend towards LED lights is the most awesome thing, because if only for the fact that with the number of lights that I have up right now, if they were regular lights, I'd be causing rolling brownouts in my neighborhood.
Yeah, see, we don't. Our neighborhood's kind of quiet. We don't do that kind of thing.
Yeah, I've
we get looked at very funny.
I am known as Griswold. Because I got to do it up every year. We have this little sort of courtyard in the front, sort of classic '60s California ranch style, with a little courtyard in the front, and so I strung LEDs around all the eaves. And then made a canopy with the LED lights over the courtyard, and then piled up white plastic bags of recycling to create a snowfield, and have some polar bears in the snowfield, including one of those light up wire form polar bears on skis on top of a snowbank, ready to ski down the snowbank. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Be posted,
I bow before your superior awesomeness.
I'm going to have to take, because pictures never quite do it justice. I'll have to take some video and put it up. But I totally want to get, I want to encourage people, and I'll do a post about this, in the next couple of days, but totally want to get Christmas light display pictures up on the Flickr group so we can show some stuff off on the blog. I think that would be awesome.
That would be very cool.
Hey, it's not Christmas lights, but did you guys see what came across Tree Hugger? I think it was today or yesterday.
No.
There's a new LED light bulb. I forget, Ecolux, I think.
Yeah.
It's a 13 watt bulb, supposed to replace a 100 watt incandescent.
Yeah.
It's normally $108. They're on sale. They're actually sold out because I went to just take a peek for curiosity's sake, but. Normally $108 on sale for $75.
Wow.
And I got to thinking about it, I thought, gosh, that's awfully high. They're saying 1,000 hours for your average incandescent, 10,000 hours for your average CF. These things are supposed to last 50,000 hours.
There you go.
And we still have burning the first compact fluorescent that we paid $30 for.
Yeah.
15 years ago. Still running. That's so I'm thinking these things come down to about $50, and I'm going to start switching the house.
Yeah, they got started. And you know, the utility guy, at least in California, like PG&E, is subsidizing CFs. Why can't they start subsidizing these too? I mean, they make more sense.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and I can actually use those because I can't use CFs because the flicker. Gives me a migraine.
Yeah. And LEDs are just so much cooler. Oh, no, literally, the light is cooler. It's a cooler light.
Yeah.
Sorry. I meant it both ways. One thing I wanted to plug before we go tonight, coming very soon, you'll see, actually starting the 12th, Z is kind of masterminding this. We will be celebrating the 12 days of Geekmas on Geek Dad. Posted about that today. And basically, it's going to be 12 days. Each day is getting a post that will sort of take a look back at one of the great stories from the last year on Geek Dad. It's sort of a retrospective series because it's been a really cool year, and we want to celebrate that a little bit. Each post will have a short Hip Tracks episode with a geeky Christmas song or holiday song of some sort with Z and myself. And every day we'll have a giveaway item. And there is some really cool stuff, including supposedly a personalized signed book from Mr. Will Wheaton. And let's see, at least one cool thing from Think Geek, a couple of video games, a DVD set of Total Awesomeness that we won't reveal until we get there, plus a whole bunch of music swag from a lot of the artists that you hear on Hip Tracks and such, because Z has all those really cool connections. So stay tuned for that. Anything else anyone's got to plug for the next 2 weeks? Matt?
Well, I have a post that's going up tomorrow as I'm saying this, but on Wednesday, something that the musical group Pollen Storm are doing for the next 23 days, the 25 days of Newman. They started it on the first day of the month. And what it is that they do sort of movie parodies of movie songs as if they were sung by Randy Newman. And
because all modern movie songs are sung by Randy.
Yeah, and they're all the same tune and some of the same lyrics, but they're all very funny. And so I have a post about that.
Awesome. Cool. How about you, Brian? Anything coming up?
I'll go ahead and point everybody at this, and I'll post about it probably tomorrow, but I found a cool new blog called Free Range Kids. You can Google it, take a look at it. If you ever listen to NPR, it is written by Lenore Skenazy. She's also a columnist for the New York Post, I think. More famous, I believe, as the woman who let her 9-year-old kid ride the subway home.
Right.
Yes.
it's very interesting. A lot of good material. Based on some of the conversations we had just on this podcast, I suspect a lot of us would find it interesting.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so one of these days we'll have to finish that official Geek Dad blog roll. But, you know, it's still sitting there waiting to get done.
You got to have something to aspire to.
Something to aspire to, you know.
That'll be, you know, it's like... It's that last 1% that you can never reach. Well, that'll be your 1%.
There you go.
We have everything else. All we'll need is the blog roll, and it'll be an easy run, easy win.
Yeah, the blog roll and the Geek Dad travel guide that we've been working on for... So. the disappointments. Oh, well. Dan, how about you? Got anything to plug for the upcoming weeks?
I don't have anything to plug. But I just wanted to point out, hey, we looked out our back window the other night, and the moon and Venus and Saturn. Was it Saturn?
It's Jupiter.
Venus, Jupiter.
They're just right over the backyard of the garage. So the boys and I got to look at that, and it was a fun thing to do.
Did you get the smiley face?
We did, yeah. Aww. Just at the right time.
I only got the frowny face, darn it. It clouded up before the day before everything.
It's only 12 and a half degrees later. Well, that's cool. All right. Well, I'm gonna say this is that's a good episode. So I'm gonna thank especially our very special guest. It was very awesome to have him on, Mr. Adam Sessler of X Play on G4 TV. Make sure you go out and check the show out. It is hilarious. Not quite as kid friendly as you might like, but an excellent resource for video game stuff of all sorts. All your favorite platforms are there. We'll take the time to thank Mr. Matt Blum, Mr. Brian Little, and Mr. Dan Olson. Thank you, guys. This was an awesome episode.
Well, thank you, Ken.
Thanks, Ken.
All right, guys.
Later.
What? Were you saying something, Brian?
I said, see y'all later.
Oh, you did. I missed that. Okay. Well, then, see y'all later. Thanks, everyone. This has been episode 33 of the Geek Dads, and that's a wrap. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Geek Dad. Geek Dad. Geek Dad. Geek Dad. Geek Dad.